You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Wednesday, December 14th, and let me start with some playing. This is not by Chopin, it's by Haydn, and I'll explain in a minute. Okay, so that is a mostly sight-read version of Haydn's Sonata in D, Hoboken 16-4 L9. And the reason that I'm playing a little bit of Haydn instead of Chopin is that I've been playing quite a bit of Haydn and Clementi and Kuhlau and just like little sonatinas and sonatas and things for my ear training class. So I'll play them little bits of things and then have them write down like what the chords are or talk about the cadence and the phrases and that sort of thing. And it's been such a pleasure to be able to sit down and mostly play through music and have it sound like music the first or the second time I play through it. I mean, obviously, if I were going to record this, there would be some things I would practice and I would make sure that there were details that were in place. But just to be able to sit down and have the piece more or less sound like the piece is so, so nice. And I have been actually enjoying that so much that I kind of haven't been practicing my Chopin very much this week, I have to confess. And I think that I have to find my way between play and practice better. You know, these Chopin etudes, as I may have mentioned once or twice, are really, really hard. And the reason I want to do them is to get them I want to turn them from something I can't do into something I can do, right? But that process is an arduous one, and I want to make sure that I don't lose sight of joy while I'm doing that. So this week, for example, had a really, really good time just picking out music for the final, played through just about the whole book of the volume one of these Haydn sonatas, just, you know, shopping for easy chord sequences that would work for them. But had such a good time playing through them, had such a good time reading through another couple of sonatina books. I had one day where I said, okay, I'm going to just warm up doing my jazz 2-5-1s, you know, this kind of thing. Like, sorry, oops, that's better. Anyway, I ended up doing that for half an hour, just finding my way around these chords, and it was so fun, and so it felt sort of like play in the sense of play in a sandbox and not in the sense of play my instrument. So I think I need to find my way back to a little bit more play. I don't think I've lost it completely, but for example, Opus 10 number 3, which, you know, I'll go ahead and play for you now. Anyway, I have to tell you that working on this piece has been mostly about just having my left arm not hurt. And when I do my arm placement correctly, it is fine, but I have to really, really, really think about it a lot. So I'm not really thinking, oh, this is a delightful phrase, or, oh, listen to this fun part. I'm just really making sure that my arm is where it belongs. So here's 25 number 3, which hopefully, and I'm going to be thinking about where my arm goes, because that's what I have to think about right now. The placement isn't ingrained. But hopefully to you, hopefully it'll sound at least like there's a little bit of phrasing and maybe a little bit of fun in it, because it's supposed to be such a fun piece, as you'll hear. So here's an attempt at 25-3. So I got a little bit tired of my left arm, especially in here. You could probably hear it. It got a little smashy. And I think it's just not... Oh, I don't know. You can tell me if it was any fun to listen to. It doesn't feel like it's very fun to listen to, and it's just not very fun right now. But honestly, I haven't been working on it. Basically, what I've been doing, and I'll talk about this in a second, but basically what I've been doing is I've been playing through sort of each section or sometimes through the whole thing and really thinking about my arm placement and then going, oh, I can't think about that anymore. I'm going to put it away. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is and this kind of goes with the whole work versus play thing, is, you know, I've been deliberately a little more laissez-faire with my practice the last couple of weeks, partly because it's the holidays and finals and everything's crazy and it's been really hard to find practice time. And partly because I've been feeling sort of lazy and like I want to do other things instead of adhere really rigidly to my plan. But I think actually I need a plan maybe even more desperately when things are kind of crazy like they are now than when I'm in a quote-unquote normal routine. So what I've been doing for most of this semester has been writing down really clearly, like I'm going to practice this for 10 minutes and this for 15 minutes and work on these two pages for these 10 minutes. And the last couple of weeks, I haven't been doing that, and I think I need to go back into that. Even if I do it at the very beginning of a practice session, like I'll say, okay, I'm going to practice for an hour, which honestly is sort of what it's been lately. I'm going to do 10 minutes of this and 10 minutes of this and 10 minutes of this. Because I've been sitting down and going, okay, I've got only 45 minutes, I'm going to just practice. Well, let me just start by playing through Winter Wind Etude. And then I kind of play through it sort of haphazardly. That's this one. About like that, but I'll play through it. And then I go, oh, I don't really feel like working on it. I'm just tired of that. I'm going to put it away and do something else. And then I'll play through a little bit of this, and I'll go, oh, I don't really feel like working on that. So what I'm doing is by not giving myself really specific goals before I even play a note of the piece, I'm not letting myself go into the actually really fun problem-solving place where the best practice, or at least my best practice, kind of lives. So I think I need to be more stringent with myself about my plan. I'm not going to be more stringent with myself about the actual time that I practice over the next couple of weeks. I'm giving myself permission to let the scheduling go where it goes. Anyway, let me play you 25 number 5. This is one that I've been finding for over the last couple of weeks, playing it for a couple of friends and also for you, that it's much easier for me to keep my concentration going when I'm on my own and to be able to really hear sort of the right notes. And when I play it for other people or when I feel like I'm in sort of a performance situation, I feel very much like I'm playing the wrong notes. And what I mean by wrong notes, this is this one. So it goes wrong note to right note. Wrong note to right note, wrong note to right note. So I'm going to play this for you now, and I'm going to try to keep my concentration, which is no clear thing, and to try and really focus on hearing this line instead of all this mishigas there. Okay, so this is a version of 25-5. Something like that. I the places, like the transitional moments, this sort of thing, I have these little moments of panic of not being sure what it is. So I need to practice the transitional moments just right up against each other and really know this is the first one, this is the second one. What happens is that I get a little bit unsure and then I find it, but it's sort of glitchy going into the B section. And then in the B section, I'm sort of distracted thinking about that. So I need to really... I need to focus my brain is what really needs to happen here. And I'm perfectly aware that that's a little bit difficult at this time of year. Anyway, so that's what's going on with that. Let me show you a little bit of what I'm doing with 25 number 6, which is the thirds, this one. I'm not going to get super into every single fingering choice because I think that would be about the most boring thing you could listen to ever. But I wanted to show you a couple of spots so you can just sort of see the kind of way I'm thinking about it. I've only gone through the first couple of pages or so, making my careful fingering choices for this. I'm mostly using the fingerings that I got from Evelyn Broncar when I was in high school studying with her. There's a couple places where I may make a couple changes, but mostly I'm going with those. So here's just a couple things to think about. One is there's this nice climb here. And of course, the tricky thing is you run out of fingers, right? So I'm doing this really fun little slide. So I'm going to talk to you about the lower note in these thirds. So I'm doing thumb, second finger, and then the second finger slides from the E flat to the E, like a little teeny ski moment, right? It just sort of skis down from the D sharp to the E. And then it goes up, and then it does it again. It sort of skis from the A sharp down to the B, and then skis from the D sharp to the E. So those are nice moments that work, I think, pretty well. Another way to do it that some places recommend is to do this and hop from the thumb to the thumb. But I feel like I'd rather do a ski than a hop. So at least that one I've got figured out. I know what I'm doing there. There's another moment that I think I'm committed to. Like you can hear I'm totally not committed. But for now, this is what I'm going to do. So at the very beginning, it starts with this really nice trill, which I can play pretty well, as you can hear, if I have my second finger on the B and my thumb on the C sharp. That feels pretty nice. And then the left hand comes in, and that feels pretty nice too. But then this thing happens. So instead of just doing the trill, it turns into a trill plus a lower note. So when I do the trill plus the lower note, I can do it pretty reasonably well if I do thumb, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one. And I totally can't do it if I keep my second finger on the Bs and do two, one, two, one, two. That just doesn't work. So the problem that I have is that if I do the fingering I like for the first measure, and then when I want to switch, I have to a little bit of a hiccup. So see if it bothers you. I'm going to play it with a left hand too. I think I'm deciding I can live with it. So see, there's a little bit of a hiccup when I do that jump, but I think it's preferable to trying to do the beginning this way. Well, that actually sounded okay when I just tried to show you that it didn't work. But so if I do it with my thumb on the B, it just doesn't feel as secure, and I feel like I want to start this piece feeling really, really super secure. So this feels great. This feels kind of awful, and I think I want to go for the great rather than the awful. That's reasonable, right? So for now, I'm choosing to live with that hiccup, and I'm probably going to have to choose to live with a lot of little hiccups in this piece, and hopefully they just won't bother anybody but me. I wanted to tell you about one other issue that I'm dealing with here in this piece. You know, I'm looking at about five, or I think maybe six. I think it's actually five different editions of these etudes now. And one of the ones I just got is the Urtext by Paul Badura Skoda, who's a really thorough scholar. And he's very, very, very good with his annotations and saying exactly where different things come from, which source different things come from. So he has a note in his Urtext that is so different from what my version of the aural tradition and from what the Mikuli edition says. So I'll just play you the second bit. Well, no, I'll just play from the beginning without the trill at the beginning. So okay, coming up right now, I'm going to play you the way I know it. Okay, we're going to ignore that little stumble at the top. So the point is, this is the way I've heard this piece my whole life, going from G sharp to an A natural. This is the way I learned it when I was in high school. This is the way a lot of different editions say that it is. So the Urtext edition, and actually the Henley does this too, says that this is actually a G sharp to an A sharp. And I just can't do it. It just sounds completely wrong to me. So, you know, usually I have pretty strong historical performance proclivities, or at least I attempt to understand what was going on in historical performance. But I feel like in this case, there are so many. It so many performances and recordings out in the world that have been so wonderful. And I don't even mean like the recordings that exist now, but like performances that have been happening over the last couple hundred years. Well, not completely the 200 years because he was just born 200 years ago, but you know what I mean? I feel like I can't give up that A natural. I just can't do it. So I've thought about that quite a bit this week. And I am making the decision that I'm going with the aural tradition rather than with the what the urtext says. There is a possibility that he may have forgotten to write in a natural and written it in somewhere else. Mikuli, his TA, says natural. So it's one of those things that we don't know unless he appears to us in a dream. But I'm going to go with a natural because I just feel like that's the only way I can hear the piece and not feel like it's wrong. So doing that. Those are the main kind of issues I'm dealing with in this piece. I'm not going to walk you through every single fingering choice of this because that would be incredibly boring for you. But I'm trying to go through pretty carefully and figure out exactly what I'm doing in every place in the piece. So I'm doing that. I have been pretty much ignoring the winter wind. You know, this one. I've been kind of playing through it most days, but I honestly haven't really practiced it once this week. And I need to, even if it's just for 10 minutes, spend a few minutes on a particular passage and really make it right instead of just kind of hacking through it. I also haven't really been playing 25 number one. I've been playing it a little bit, kind of like I am now, but I haven't really been practicing it. So usually I'll get to about there and go, ugh, I don't feel like working on it. Let me go to something else. So you can see that I really, really, really need my plan. I need to be using a plan. I need to be writing out exactly what I'm going to do and then doing it. So that's my plan. I'm going to do that this week. I'm going to be very stringent with what I do. But like I said, I'm not necessarily going to be super stringent about when it happens. So that's it. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. You can find out more about this project and about me at playitagainstswig.com. Thank you so much for being my practice buddy.